Good morning, church. We are opening God's word this morning and we will read from Romans chapter 1. And we are starting at verse 8 to 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that make you strong, That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome.
Thank you, Sam. Well, good morning again. Let me start with this photo. Oh, I was just told by somebody that I seem to love the Lord of the Rings a lot. I do. But it is a wonderful story. And here we have a group of people. You have a wizard, an elf, a dwarf, two human beings, four hobbits, and you think, what do they have in common? They are as diverse a group of characters as you can get, but they are all part of the same group of people that went on an adventure. Right, so you have the wizard who is part of this group who has knowledge beyond all these other eight characters and he can wield some form of magic. You have the elf skilled with bow, immune to illness, does not age. And then you have the dwarf, very resourceful, great at using his axe. And one of the human beings, he is an heir to the kingdom of men. And the other human being is tempted by the use of illegitimate power to help his fellow human beings, to help his people. And then finally, you have the four hobbits, peaceful people. They were just happy to live in their corner of the world, but now they are swept up in this grand adventure, this unlikely adventure. And so you cannot get a more diverse group of people than these group. And many of you would know this is from Lord of the Rings, more specifically Fellowship of the Ring. And these nine characters, they make up the Fellowship of the Ring. And even though each one of them have very different backgrounds to each other, different skill set, they are united in one purpose. Right? This fellowship was formed with the sole purpose of destroying that one ring. And as we read their story, we read of their failures, their struggles, and then finally their triumphs at the end. And even though they are so different, each one of them contributed to their own, in their own unique way, in that one mission to destroy that one ring. Now on the surface, as we think about it, we can't see how these hobbits, these four hobbits, would be able to do anything on their own to accomplish this mission. But they displayed their tenacity, their resilience, and their loyalty to each other. And those really enabled Frodo at the end to destroy that one ring. And they succeeded. This fellowship succeeded in the end with a diverse bunch of characters united by that one purpose. As followers of Christ, we are united by one purpose. And that one purpose is to bring glory and praise to the God who has saved us in Christ by the power of the Spirit. And even though we are a diverse bunch of people here, in Christ, we are united with one purpose. That's what we're going to look at in Romans 15 today. And in Romans 15, Paul focuses once more on the gospel and how, as followers of Christ, we our focus and our mission should be on the gospel. Right, this is towards the end of the book. So for the better part of this year, we've been looking at Romans. We have been going through a series on the book of Romans. And my prayer for each one of us has always been that we would be blessed, our souls would be refreshed, as has been for my soul as I prepare these sermons. And one thing I learned as well as we keep going through Romans is that God keeps reminding us to keep our eyes on the gospel, on what is true and faithful at the center of our faith. And as a church, as we will come to see in our passage today, Paul continues that, and he reminds us that we need the gospel once more. So we're looking at Romans chapter 15, verses 7 to 33. And Paul is basically just summarizing everything that he's been talking about, particularly the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. Right, this theme of the relationship between Jews and Gentiles has been a prominent theme throughout the book of Romans. It's here he's drawing all of that to a close, to a conclusion. And then the rest of the chapter after that is just Paul sharing his plans, missionary plans and his journey, and how ultimately all of that, all three topics, relates back to this one gospel that he's been talking about. So we're going to look at that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 7 onwards to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 15. Let me invite you to stand as I read from this. It is a long chapter. If you need to grab a seat in the middle, that's okay. Feel free to do so. Hear the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 to 33. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around Illyricum, I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I've completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. Three sections, as we can see from this passage. Point number one, very straightforward. We are united in the gospel of Christ. United in the gospel of Christ, verse 7 to 13. So Paul has talked about Jews and Gentiles and their relationship throughout the book of Romans, and he concludes here in chapter 15, verse 7, accept one another, Jews and Gentiles, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So the Jews need to accept that Gentiles are now part of the kingdom of God through the work of Christ. And the Gentiles need to accept that the Jews are an important heritage and part of God's salvation history. The Jews can't look down on the Gentiles because they don't have their Jewish lineage or history. But the Gentiles cannot look at the Jews and think that now they have more freedom than their Jewish counterparts because of Christ. Both groups need to accept each other because at the heart of the gospel message is that Christ has accepted all of us sinners, through his death, through his resurrection. And so this message is not just for Jews and Gentiles, it's for all those who trust in Christ. We need to accept one another. We don't look down at each other. Why? Because Christ has accepted us. In other words, we are united as one in the gospel of Christ. And notice this, united as one in order to bring praise to God. That's what we are here for, to bring praise to God. Our acceptance of one another, our relationship, our love for one another is to bring praise to God. And as we have seen throughout the book of Romans, this is something God planned right from the beginning. It's not plan B in God's plan of salvation. It's not as if God planned to save the Jews and then, that failed, let's start plan B. No, he has always had that from the beginning. Look at verse 8. Christ has become a servant of the Jews, that is, he's become the Messiah of the Jews, on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And then from verses 9 to 12, he goes on to quote different passages from the Old Testament to show that the Gentiles has always been a part of God's plan of salvation. He quotes from 2 Samuel and Psalms and Deuteronomy and Isaiah, all trying to show that Gentiles has always been in God's mind right from the beginning. They are not an afterthought. And so even though these two groups of people have such different backgrounds, such different histories and stories, they are both, and we are all now, one in Christ through the gospel. Our stories are now intertwined, becoming the same story. That's one of his main points, if you remember, from chapters 2 and 3. Jews, Gentiles, all sinful, but both groups of people, they are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. And therefore, let's accept one another. And so when we think about this, we are not an afterthought. You are not an afterthought. God already has us in mind from eternity past. In one passage in Ephesians, Paul says, God chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. No matter who you are, your background, your history, what you have done, God has had you in mind since eternity past, united in Christ in the gospel. And so like the Fellowship of the Ring, so to speak, with all its unique and interesting characters, we are all unique in our own characters, interesting in our own stories, stories of God's faithfulness, of God's work, of God's goodness in our lives. God has done all that in our lives. And so we accept one another in order to bring praise to God. And do you realize that our love and our acceptance of one another brings praise to God in front of a watching world? Each one of us, as you know, we have different stories, different backgrounds, personalities. Yet we love, we encourage, we accept, we build one another up in Jesus as we come each week. You know how special that is and how unique that is in our world? Don't underestimate the relationships that we have in the church and with one another and the impact it has on a watching world. Because despite all the connections, digital connections that we have in our world, people are more isolated and lonelier than ever. And so when people come into the church and they sense this deep love, deep acceptance of one another that we have for each other, their souls cry out to God and they long for something like that. And it is only in the gospel of Jesus, that we have that. And when people realize that, it brings praise to God. United in the gospel of Christ, that's what we are. That's the first point. Let's go to our second point, a longer point. We are on mission for the gospel of Christ. Verses 14 to 22. And so towards the end of Romans, Paul has spent 14 and a half chapters talking about the gospel message. And he is preaching that to the church in Rome through his letter. And this is one of the few times where Paul has never visited the church that he is writing to. Right, this church, they don't know Paul personally. Paul has never spent time with this church as he did with many other churches. And this means that the church in Rome, they may not be as familiar with Paul's message, Paul's gospel that he preaches, that he tells people about. And that's why Paul spends so much time explaining, declaring this gospel message to this church. Right, to have a more systematic approach to it compared to his other letters. And Paul has heard about this church in Rome from his colleagues, as we saw in our Bible reading. And so he starts this section with a polite acknowledgement about who they are and their faith. Verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. And so even though he has never met them, he thinks the best of them, rather than being judgmental about their issues between Jews and Gentiles. He thinks the best of them. He recognizes they're full of goodness, filled with knowledge. They know their stuff. Yet at the same time, he has written things in his letter to this church that presumably they would have known about already, namely the gospel. Verse 15, yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And he goes on to say that God gave him the duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might be an acceptable offering to God, sanctified by the Spirit. His life goal is to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And so, notice this. This is a church that he says is filled with goodness, filled with knowledge. They know their stuff. And yet he preaches and reminds them of the gospel. No matter who you are, no matter the maturity of your faith, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we will always need the gospel. We never move away from the gospel. Instead, what we do, we go deeper into the gospel. This is a constant thing in Paul's letters where he will bring out the multifaceted view of what the gospel is and the impact it has on our lives and how that applies to us. That is what he spent his entire life doing, to preach the gospel and all of his glory, all of his beauty to anyone and everyone who would listen. Listen to what he says, verse 17 onwards. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. This is a glimpse into the heartbeat of Paul. This is what drives him. This is what drives all that he does. If it is not preaching the gospel, it is training others to preach the gospel. If it is not that, Paul is writing letters about the gospel to different churches. You put him on house arrest, he writes letters to the different churches. You put him in jail, he converts all your guards through the gospel. That's the one thing that drives him above all else. His mission to preach Christ to those who do not know him yet, in a place where the gospel has not been made known. Verse 20, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. That is his life goal. That is what drives him. What is yours? How does your life goal match up with Paul's? Now, when I ask that question, I'm not asking us to have the same ministry or the same life like Paul's. No. God has uniquely given him the responsibility and the gifts to plant churches, particularly to the Gentiles, to raise up new leaders and give him courage to make Christ known in this hostile world. That's God's grace to Paul. That's not what I'm expecting you to do. What I'm asking is that, do we have the same life goal as Paul? His heart is always be on the mission for the gospel, no matter where he is, no matter what he does. He's always thinking about how he can preach the gospel where Christ was not known. That is his ambition. What is yours? What is the mission and purpose of your life? Think about that. And maybe you are here and you are not a follower of Christ. Maybe you are here because a friend invited you or a family invited you to come. And, you know, you're just being polite to them and saying, yes, come and join us. And maybe by this time you're bored to death by listening to this guy on the stage. Well, let me just say thank you for coming and joining us. But can I encourage you to think about this one question? What is the purpose of your life? What is your life goal? Think about how you answer that. And then when you have answered that, think about the answer. What is it about that answer that makes it worth devoting your entire life to it? And for those of us who are followers of Christ, our mission in life, as God calls us to, is to make the gospel known to everyone, to make Christ known to everyone. We are on mission for the gospel of Christ because he is worthy. That should be the overarching mission and purpose of our lives. Now again, that's not to say every one of us should be going into full-time paid ministry. Now some of you definitely should be thinking that. Some of you definitely should be considering, because God has given you the desire, the aptitude, the gift to go into full-time ministry. You need to be and should be thinking about that. But for many of us, being missioned for the gospel of Christ is usually accomplished and done within your everyday life, as you work, as you live your life. And there are many ways to be intentional about that, to be on mission for the gospel. Now, one simple way I heard from one pastor is that what he would do is that he would go to the same hairdresser every single time. Or he will go to the same cafe every single time. And every time he goes there, He will make it a point to slowly build a relationship with the people there. And so from this relationship, he can begin to share about who he is, what he does, his faith, and what it means to them. And hopefully, prayerfully from there, he's able to share about Jesus. Very simple things. Another very simple way is to start getting to know your neighbors. Start inviting your neighbors over for a meal, for a barbie. Summer's coming. Build a relationship with them. Show them what it means to be a follower of Christ. And when the opportunity arises, then you can tell them about Jesus. The idea is that we are intentional about sharing our faith. Always thinking about how we can build relationships with people around us to show them who Christ is. And now is a great time to start. Because while Christmas is coming soon, and Christmas is always a wonderful opportunity, very easy opportunity for Christians to say, hey, Christmas is coming. What are you doing for Christmas? My church is running X, Y, and Z, which we will tell you more. Why don't you come? It's a great opportunity for us to do that, to share our faith, to tell people about who Jesus is. Now, of course, there's always a danger when I say things like that, is that we begin to think of these people as our evangelism project. People are not projects. I've said that before. They are human beings made in the image of God. And so love them. Be genuinely interested in them. Get to know them. Pray for them. And through your relationship with them, when the opportunity arises, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the church. Tell them what you do. We are on mission for the gospel of Christ. Just like how Paul was. That's point number two. Let's go to point number three, our last point. We are partners together for the gospel of Christ. We are partners together for the gospel of Christ. So in this section, Paul tells us about his missionary plans. Right, he's finally free and able to visit them after all his missionary efforts elsewhere. But he's not planning a long stop in Rome. Right? He just wants to stop by on his way to Spain for more mission work. So look at verse 23. But now there's no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a little while. Now, before he does that, he is on his way to Jerusalem to help God's people there, to help the church there. Right? He has collected offerings from Macedonia and Achaia to give to the church in Jerusalem. So there's been a famine, and the people of God in Jerusalem, they are struggling. And these churches, they were pleased to do it. Right now, the Gentiles are sharers in the spiritual blessings of the Jews. And so, rightly so, the Jews should be sharers of the Gentiles' material blessings. And so, after he has visited Jerusalem, he will go to visit them in Rome. And so, there's this partnership going on, as we saw. And remember, Jews and Gentiles, they're now citizens of the same kingdom of Christ, both accepted into the kingdom of God. We united in the gospel of Christ. And so when we hear our brothers and sisters who are struggling in another church or in another country, then we want to be able to help them. We want to be able to bless them. And we're partners together in the gospel of Christ, like what the churches in Macedonia and Achaia are doing for Jerusalem and how the church in Rome, Paul is hoping to support him for his missionary effort in Spain. And so as a people of God, as a church, we are united with other Bible-believing churches as partners in the gospel for Christ. As partners, not competitors. And the churches that Paul mentions are all from different cities, all from different regions, but all supporting, helping one another, even though they're so far away from each other. And so for each one of us, when we hear about our brothers and sisters in Christ, when they're going through tough times, we ought to be supporting them whenever we can. And if you think about it, God has blessed us so immensely in terms of spiritual and material blessings. Here at Willow Church, we have a church building. Many churches don't get to have a building. We are immensely blessed in that matter. And I want to praise God that as a church, we have always been such a gracious and generous church when it comes to such things. Praise God for that. And we want to keep doing that because we are partners together with the gospel of Christ. We are not the only church in this world. But there's another way that we can continue supporting each other, continue supporting different churches and our brothers and sisters in Christ. One other way that we do that and partner with them is through prayer. We must not overlook the importance of prayer. Look at what Paul says, verse 30 onwards. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so he asked for prayer. And he is asking for prayer from a church that he has not met and a church that has not met him. We can pray for other churches. So another way that we partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ is pray. Now, it may be that, as I mentioned just now, that you find it hard to give financially to some of these causes that we support. That's okay. Don't feel guilty about that. But what you can always do, what we can always do, is pray. Pray for our brothers and sisters. And in praying, we're joining with them in their struggles. Right? As Paul says, I urge you to join me in my struggle. How do you join Paul in his struggle? By praying to God for him. We can always pray for our partners together in the gospel. And let me bring you back with the Fellowship of the Ring. Ragtag group of characters, completely different backgrounds, united in one purpose. Each of them have a unique contribution to that one purpose, towards this goal of destroying the one ring. It's not only them, as we read on the story, not them individually, they gathered armies together to help them in their quest. And in the end, they were able to defeat the armies of Sauron, have the one ring destroyed, because they are partners together, not just individually, but with different groups of people coming together for that one purpose. And in the end, the most unlikely, most unwarrior-like hobbit who destroyed the One Ring with the help of those around him. How is that different from us as a church, where we are such a diverse group of people? Here at Willow, different backgrounds, different personalities, different from different places, but united in the gospel of Christ, knowing that we're all sinners, saved by sheer grace in Christ. And through that, we are on mission for the gospel, to proclaim to the world who Christ is, to bring praise to God together, and doing it as partners, not just with us, but with different churches around us, not just here in Perth, but also throughout the world. And one thing we can do, as I mentioned, right now is to pray. And so what I'm going to get you to do right now is to invite you to pray silently, just in your own seat, for ourselves as a church, for yourself as a person, and also for the churches that you know of. And I want you to pray for God's faithfulness to be upon them, and that these churches will continue proclaiming the gospel faithfully for generations to come. So just for the next few minutes, I'm going to invite you to pray right now, and then I will lead us in a time of prayer at the end. Let us bow our heads and pray. Pray for ourselves. Pray for the marriages in our midst. Pray for faithfulness in our relationships. Pray that our Christian life may be one that displays and promotes Jesus, to bring praise to God. Pray for the different churches that you can think of. Pray for Three Crosses Westminster Presbyterian, who meets in our building in the afternoon. Pray for the different Reformed churches in our denomination. Pray for the churches that are close to us, that God will continue to be faithful to them, and they will continue to be faithful to the gospel. Father God, we come before you and we ask for your blessing, and we pray to you for each one of us here, for ourselves, in our daily lives, in the course of going to work, going to school. Help us, Lord, to bring praise to you. We pray for ourselves as a church. We thank you for drawing all of us together as a church and bringing everyone here together. May we continue to accept one another through all our different backgrounds, different personalities, different way of doing things. Help us to work together, to love one another, to encourage one another. And through those relationships, may we bring praise to you. Help us in our marriages, that it will display the love of Christ to the world. Help those who are not married through their life, through their faithfulness, to be able to show forth your love and your grace as well. And Father, we also pray for the different churches around us. We praise you that there are so many churches around us here in this suburb or the surrounding suburb. We thank you for these churches who are also filled with so many people of God. But we do ask and pray, help them, Father, to be faithful to you and to the gospel. May they continue to preach Christ, not to be tempted by the influence of this world, by the winds of change, but anchored upon the love of Christ. This gospel, this wonderful Lord and Savior who has loved us and gave himself for us. Help us as a church to continue to see them as our brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray, to support, encourage, particularly those churches who might be struggling. Help us, Lord, to keep them in prayer. Above all else, Father, we do want to pray that you continue to draw us closer to you here as a church, as a family of God. Lord, you're doing magnificent and wonderful things in our midst. We thank you that as a church we are growing, that you have brought so many new people into our midst. And so, Father, we also want to keep praying that you continue to do that, that as a church we continue to welcome new people in our midst, to be loving, and to also be intentional about growing in our faith and growing in our intention to preach and proclaim Christ with our lives. That we never take that for granted, that we are never complacent about that. That is the calling and mission of our lives, Lord, to make Christ known, to lead others towards Jesus. And so may we as a church continue to keep that at the center and focus of who we are. That church is a place where we can display who you are to the world. And so, Father, we ask and pray for all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.